When I feel the waitress, it's all on one ticket. It just don't, you know, I don't know how they do it. And, you know, I really try to pay them. And finally I said, well, this is helping my retirement plan. And if they do that, and we're just going to their inheritance, if there is anything left. But anyway, open your Bibles, and we do welcome everybody here today. We hope you feel welcome at Welcome Baptist Church, and can come to see us, come back to see us. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts number 13. Acts is a history book. You know, there's one thing you can't do. You can lie about history, but you cannot change history. And they're trying to change history. You cannot change history. Be careful where you get the history of the United States of America. And be careful where you get the history of the nation of Israel and also the history of the Bible. There's so many Bibles, they're leaving out a bunch of stuff, they're adding a bunch of stuff, and you need to be really careful about that. So in the book of Acts, it's a history book, and it also, and the idea is, the history book is something that, well, one of my children told me in their education, when they were being educated, hopefully, when they had the opportunity to be educated, they said this: think about history as His story, as God's story, and it is. It began with Him, and it will end with Him. Amen. And then it'll be eternity with Him, and it's all about Him. But history in the book of Acts. In history, you either learn from history or you're destined to repeat that. And I borrowed that phrase from whoever said it, but that's a true statement. So, but also in history, there is things that happen that never happen again. Like a baby being born into the world. Hopefully a baby is going to be nursed by its mama. I won't get into all that, but it'll be far better off if it is, especially its immune system. But also, it begins to eat off the table. It's not satisfied with the bottle, and then on the mother's breast, and then it starts grabbing the table. Are you, darling? Abigail's baby. It starts learning to talk and to talk. Not ever want to do the jabber jabber again, but talking and walking and carrying on. And that's the way it was with this early church. There were some things happened that only happened in the growth and maturity of the church. Gifts. The gifts were given for Jews to sign the Greeks in knowledge, and all the gifts on the tongues of the healing. That's in the past. If the gifts of healing were real today in the hands of man, we would shut down a preacher that was not in it for the money, go to hospitals, and they would shut the hospitals down, healing people. But God has given medical professionals the ingenuity and the intelligence and the design to try to know how to help people be well and to give them longevity of life. And so anyway, I won't get into all of that other than the book of Acts is a history book. And it describes the first moving away from the Jews to the Gentiles. The Jews, the Bible talks about the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. It describes the groups of people in the world to not red and yellow, black and white, but to the Jews, the Gentile, and the Church of God. If you'll keep that clear in your mind as you think about God's program and the Word of God, as you study and read it, you'll realize it's the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. Now, the Gentiles at this time in this event, in this scripture that we're going to be looking at, has to do with when the Jews, my friends, reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a dangerous thing to do. Do you realize that the only hope that you or I or anyone else has in this world to get out of this world and not have to go to hell is through the person of Jesus Christ? Now, they rejected him. They crucified him. They tried to smear his name every way they could. And they finally had him put to death by the Roman crucifixion, which is the most terrible, horrible method of torture and death that has ever been known to man. And they crucified him. There were so many people crucified in that day that trees, forests disappeared. And there were crosses up and down the road where people could see what could happen to malefactors and thieves and robbers if they did anything wrong. It might be good today that if we return to public hanging, and people could see, especially young people, what would happen to them if they didn't do right. Instead of putting them up for life and paying them and taking bed and breakfast and dinner and supper for the rest of their lives in prison. Anyway, let's move along. The first thing is they rejected, when they heard the gospel, they rejected the gospel. And in these scriptures and in this study, Paul and Barnabas were the first missionaries that were sent out from the new church, which were Jewish people that had received Christ. The whole nation rejected him, but people inside of the Jewish nation, some of them got saved. Peter, James, and John. And all the disciples were saved people. And God started the church through them at the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in the upper room. There were 120 of them. And my friends, some were not, but those 120 got to experience the sending of the Holy Ghost of God that came with power as a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire set on their shoulders, and men spake with other tongues. They spake with other languages. And the gospel was spread about through the city of Jerusalem by people, these people preaching the gospel to people that were gathered from all around the European area that had came to be there, Jews, for the day of Pentecost. And they came and they heard the gospel preached in their own language. And it was a gift of not only of the tongue, but a gift of the ear. When those people spoke that language and preached the gospel with their Greek language, people that preached heard it in another language, they heard it in their language by the time it got to their ears. And that don't happen anymore, because if it did, I would know Hispanol. And I just don't know much of it. I know enough of it to pervert the gospel. So I'm not going to preach or try to, por favor, recibo Cristo en este momento, por favor. It's peligroso, no recibo un Cristo. It's diablo, and it's also inferno for people that reject no recibo Cristo. That's about all. Plus, I want tortilla arena and lechuga tomato, tomati, and I want puerco, or better, I would want beefsteak. That's as far as I'm going with the menu. So, in Acts chapter 13, we see they were sent out from Antioch, which was a new church below Jerusalem near the Mediterranean Sea. They were sent out by that church. Those were all Jewish people. And they sent out the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, to preach the gospel. And they went first to Jewish synagogues, scattered all through that area around the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, all around to Italy, where churches, they're called synagogues, where the Jews met and read the reading of the Word of God. So they were sent out. Now, that's on the first missionary journey. The first missionary journey, they went to Antioch. And if you'll read chapter 13, 14, 15, you'll see that they came back to Antioch and they gave a report from that first missionary journey. And that's the same thing that we're trying to do from when we went to Mexico. We're responsible and accountable to you and to God for any efforts we make in the pursuit of reaching people for God. They went to Antioch. They went out of Antioch. They came back to Antioch. And then on the second missionary journey, they did the very same thing. They went out and they came back to Antioch and reported again. Paul's third missionary journey, he went out, but he went back to Jerusalem. There was great controversy on whether Jewish or the Gentiles should be received into the church. Great controversy. And let it be known now that Paul and Barnabas, they shook off the dust of their feet and said, "We're going to the Gentiles. You received the gospel. You rejected the gospels. We're going to the Gentiles." And the Gentiles were considered dogs. The word is ethnos, and it means the people out there. It means a non-Jew, the ethnicity, a non-Jew. A non-Jew, they were looked at as literal dog people. And Paul said, and Barnabas said, "You rejected Jesus. We're going to the dog people. We're going to the people that you don't even think are real human beings and are not fit to live." And they were received by the Jew, by the Gentiles. I mean, they were. Now, this last trip to Jerusalem, they were having a big fuss, and I'm trying to get on through this. There were people that were in these synagogues when Paul and Barnabas would go preaching in those synagogues. The Jews got it. The Gentiles wanted to hear the gospel too. And so they preached to the Gentiles. And Gentiles got saved. And the Jews got jealous. And the Jews said, "They're going to have to be circumcised if we have anything to do with them." So Paul went to Jerusalem to visit the apostles and to get the thing straight about putting restrictions on people being saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2, Paul said, "The only thing that I want to know about you is that you're saved. Leave the rest to God. Not you just saved and in parts you have down the middle. Are you parted on the left or you parted on the right? I'm not concerned about that external as much as I am about the internal fact of you receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior." I know we have to help people, train them, help them along, but we do not need to put unfair restrictions on people before we can legitimize the fact of their salvation. If they have turned to Jesus with all of their heart, if they believe Him with all of their might, and they know they're a sinner, and they look to Jesus for salvation, they're saved. Do you agree with that? These guys, again, I got to wake some of you up. You've been up all night. Come on, men, where's the men? Hey, man. All right, good. That's a little better. He went to Jerusalem, got that straightened out, and James, the brother of Jesus, was the first pastor in Jerusalem, the first pastor that ever was of a church, the brother of Jesus. And he got everybody's attention, and he said this. He said, "Let's don't put any more restraints on them other than that they abstain from fornication and things strangled with blood." I don't know, Grandma used to strangle chickens. I'm not going to get into that part of it. But the idea about the blood is that there was superstition in the Jewish tradition that demons lived in blood. I'm not going to eat a bloody steak. I'm not stupid. My boys say the blood is not there, it's just the juice. If it looks like blood, I don't care how juicy it is, but I don't want it like she leather either. Amen. That'd be medium. So they agreed to not put the pressure on the Gentiles other than that. And I think that's wise, because if demons get in blood, I don't want to eat no demons, do you? And then, one thing for sure, to abstain from fornication is what all of us should do. Amen. Amen. From that. So they went on. And then there's a fourth missionary journey that Paul has in Questra. Because when he left Jerusalem, he wound up having to go to Rome. And he was accused of blasphemy and all of that. And eventually Nero cut his head off. Lost his head. He was killed, martyred for the gospel. But we're not sure. You may know, you find out, tell me, that if he got martyred then, or he had a desire to go to Spain, he talked about that, and he may have well got out of prison for a while, went to Spain, come back, got back in prison, got his head cut off. And my friends, he spent more time in prison. There was always a room waiting for him in every city he went to, a dungeon. So this first missionary journey is of particular importance to us. They departed from Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And you can read verse 1 and 2. And in verse 3 is when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That means they sent them away. They sent them on their missionary journey. The first place they came to was Seleucia. To Seleucia. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. They came to Seleucia. Nothing was said about preaching the gospel there. They just came to it. Nothing was said about them going through Cyprus. That's where Barnabas was from. Barnabas was a rich man. He was a good man and a man that would encourage you. He wound up going with Paul on a missionary journey. He went to get him when all the others were afraid of him, because Paul had been Saul, who put to prison and to death men and women for serving Christ. And Barnabas went after him when he heard that he was saved, took him under his wing, and they become missionaries. And Barnabas, his name means son of consolation. That means every time you were around Barnabas, you was cheered up. Martha said a little bit ago, my brother's coming. I said, which one? She said, J.M. I said, I hope he does. J.M. used to cheer up everybody. Even when I knew personally as his pastor that he was going through hard times, he cheered us up, didn't he? I'm telling you, I mean, if he'd have showed up, I'd just let him be testifying right now. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They preached. That's, they went through two or three places before they preached. I mean, that's saying something. You know, why there? Because God put the red light on that place. He put the spotlight on that place where they were going to preach. And they preached to the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. This is John Mark. John Mark's mother was the one that owned the upper room where Jesus held the Passover before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And John Mark was the one that was watching through the night and watching what was going on in the garden. And he didn't have his clothes on. He had a sheet around him, and he got out of bed and followed the disciples. And when they got Jesus, he fled, and one of the soldiers grabbed his garment and he took off nude. And got back home some way or another in the night. That was John Mark. He was their minister. You know what that means? He carried the bags for them. He was a servant. He was a young man. He was a young man. And then the Bible says they come upon the next place. When they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer. Now, I wondered about this. Did they find him or did he find them? A false prophet. A Jew whose name Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus means son of Joshua. In the Hebrew, that's the way you say Jesus is you say Joshua. And it's the same. He was the son of a man named Joshua. And he was a wizard. He could pull a bunny out of a hat. If they were there yesterday, they're here today. He's a false prophets. Now let me tell you what false prophets do to you today. They pull your life savings out of your bill. Don't think they don't. When I was in the insurance business, I was a little old lady was one of our rich little lady was one of our clients, and I was in her home one day, and her daughter was her whatever you call it, the one who took care of her business. And her daughter got there to write the check out for her insurance, and she saw where she had wrote one of those quacks a big, big check and didn't catch it. And it went through, and that sorcerer wizard had her money. They're still here today. A false prophet, which was with the deputy of the country. The deputy was a lawman of the country. He was over it all like a sheriff. And they were together. And this Bar Jesus, Paul puts his signature on him, and was the chief deputy, verse 7, the count of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. How in the world? He wanted to hear the word. But Elymas, this is the same man transliterated from Bar Jesus, is another way of saying his name, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the place. You know what false prophets do today? They keep you from a different thought than you have thought. They do everything they can do to keep you from getting saved and going to heaven. One thing they'll do, they'll say, if you're saved, if God saves you, you have to keep it done. That's a false prophet. People that do not believe in the eternality of the security of a believer, my friends, they're false prophets. You mark it down. I'm talking about some of our skin folks, maybe some of our heritage, some of our grandparents, whoever. I'm going to tell you what. And my friends, I go on the record today, according to the Word of God, there's nothing in the Word of God that teaches God saves you and you have to keep yourself saved. God does it all or He doesn't do it at all. Amen? Anybody out here keeping your salvation? I mean, you need to live right, but you're not the one keeping you saved. No, you're not. And I could go on and on and out about false prophets. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, this is when his name is changed from Saul to Paul. And you know why his name was changed, I believe. I believe they started calling him Paul, and God had him started calling him Paul instead of Saul, because he was a general in a Jewish army. He was also a very literate, learned lawyer man. He could speak 5 languages at least. And my friends, he was very arrogant and proud of his accomplishments in persecuting the church. And God said, you think you're big, but in reality, all of the historical dimensions of Paul was he was a little old man, sort of like me. Hunchback, eye problems, hard to look at, not pretty. He said, you're not as big as you think you are, old buddy. He brought him life. So Paul, under the power of the Holy Ghost of God, verse 9, then Paul, who's also called Saul Paul, who's also was filled with the Holy Ghost, and set his eyes on him, said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all. And who's he talking to? Not the sheriff, but the false prophet. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. That's 3 months, right? 4 seasons. I'm going to say it's 3 months. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Oh, I wish I could do that. You child of the devil, you're not going to see for a year. Matter of fact, you're not never going to see. I wish I could do that. It'd be some blind people walking around. But look at this. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believing, was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Not at Paul. But he kept his eyes not on the man, but he had his eyes on the Lord. And when the gospel is preached correctly, it'll never be on the emphasis on the man, but it'll be the God of the man, not the man of the God. Praise the Lord for that. There's so much preacher worship today, it's pathetic, Dr. Reeves. You know that, don't you? Oh, that's my preacher. Oh, I love to hear him. I love to hear him. Oh, he's the most famous preacher. Well, what if he plowed your corn? What if he plowed so far, cut your tongue? I got a feeling he would be your famous preacher. The reason he's your famous preacher is because he's telling you things that just makes you feel good. He don't ever plow the corn. You know what plow the corn means? You pluck your eyebrows. Hallelujah. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. How do you get saved? Believe. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What is the doctrine of the Lord? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. What is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. And there's good news for you today because Jesus Christ has came to give you opportunity to believe him, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that, he was a scene of above 500 brethren. There's your witnesses. That's the gospel. Jesus bled and died for you to wash your sins away so you could be saved. And there's more testimony. You check it out. There's more historical testimony that Jesus Christ walked this earth and died on that cross and got out of the tomb and went to heaven than there is any other person that's ever lived. You check it out. There's more books. There's more Bibles than there is any other book in the world. Amen. My friends, a person, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God, and his son is Jesus. And you can look at the trees, and you can look at the birds, and you can look at the animals, and you can look at you, the most perfect design of God's creation, us. Computers are designed by people studying our brains. There's a God, my friends, and the Bible tells you you can know him through his son. Hallelujah. Now look at this. That's the gospel. This man got saved. In verse number 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Pamphus, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, this man got saved. That's all you can say about that, ain't it? He didn't. Paul didn't say, "I
read that field, just believe. See that know what happens. I'll say now, if you believe, you'll come to church. If you believe, you'll be fast. If you believe, you'll put your fornication, drinking blood. You'll put all that, he didn't say nothing. But no one of me. But you didn't put no stipulations on belief. You should not do that. This man believed, and I'll tell you something that worries me, concerns me, it's from that way out. We have a battle to fight you. And my friend, nobody can fight your battles for you. 3 months after that guy, that sorcerer was declared blind, he could see again. And I'm going to tell you what, you can fix your bone or he took trouble. And if he did, somebody else. Now, I'm going to tell you what, as soon as you can get saved, you can mark it down. My friends, you can just have a battle with the devil. I did, you did, everybody does. It's part of being a Christian. And if you're not having a battle with the devil today, you're not saved. Because when you get saved, it changes your perspective on the whole world, your whole kinfolks, your whole life, everything that you do, and it's contrary to the natural man to believe on Jesus Christ. It's contrary. You have to do something contrary to what your natural belief is, and that your natural belief is, I'm okay. I'm going to make it. Make it to where? And make it when is the big question. So they left this man. And then they went again to another place. I got to move along. They came from Perga. They came to Antioch and Pisidia. That's coming all around the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. You can check it on your maps. And they made it to this place, and they came to a synagogue again. Let me just move quickly. I don't know if I've got time to finish this. And they came on the Sabbath to another synagogue. And if you'll notice in your Bibles, you know what they did? Well, I could tell you some stories about that. I was preaching down my uncle's church one time, Triune, Uncle Dennis. They sung a few songs, and it was right before my time to preach, and this guy stood up out there and preached for about 45 minutes and said, and I got up and said, it's over. I didn't know what to do. That's out of order, friends. That's out of order. Paul and Barnabas were congenial and gentlemen, and they sat down. And then they said, the Jewish synagogue leader said, listen, men and brethren. He said in verse 13, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. They asked the wrong man to preach. And Paul preached. And a lot of them Jews just got up and left when it was over with. But some of them stayed and got saved. That's the way it all is. That's the way it works. Everybody, in spite of God's willing to save them and long-suffering with them, everybody ain't going to get saved. I wish they were. That scares the devil out of me to think that some of my loved ones might die and go to hell in spite of everything that somebody does. But everybody, and these Jews, not all of them, look, let's just skip on over to these other verses. You know what Paul said he's preaching? Verse 39, he's summing it up. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You might as well forget trying to keep the law of Moses being saved. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers. He's quoting the prophets of the Old Testament, despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work ye shall not no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the Sabbath day. They said, will you preach to us next Saturday? Will you preach to us, the Jews? They're listening in. But there were also people that were permitted as Gentiles to come in that were called Gentile proselytes, that had to be circumcised and observe the law, and they let them in if they went by the rules. So there were Gentiles in that synagogue that heard the gospel, and they said, hey, will you preach to us next Saturday? Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. Now, there's two great, great things that happened. Through two great opportunities. They preached and then some Jews and Gentiles got saved. But look at the opposition. 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They contradicted the message of the gospel, and they blasphemed the name of God. And when they did that, there was no hope of them ever being saved. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost by denying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says only one sin will not be forgiven. You can commit any sin, but if you blaspheme the work of the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. So that marked them off. Some of them believed. Some of them believed. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Is anybody here that wouldn't be interested in everlasting life? I'll take all of it I can get. But I want you to understand, I got all of it I can get. I'm going to live forever. It's just not here. You know there's advertisements going on right now that's talking about prolonging life. And now I'm listening closely to that advertisement, and they talk about we cannot yet keep life. And I'm not exactly phrasing it, but there's advertisement prolonging life, not only prolonging it and let you live longer, but keeping it. Man will never do that. And man will think he's God. And man already thinks he's God, to be honest with you. No. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That means everybody can be saved. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now let me just say this. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Oh man, this went from a sorcerer to the deputy wizard. This went to some Jewish religious leaders. And now they got the women involved. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get the women involved, there is going to be some opposition. And they got the what? They got the honorable women. That's it, kind of where they talk. She was, she thought she was so very important. She had a worm. You check that out. The louse. That's transported. I see why some people are so sad. They don't ever read Huckleberry Finn. I'm sorry. But here's something interesting about this. When these people believed, there's something that happened to these people. Of course, they got saved to begin. Sins were forgiven. But then something happened to them on the inside. And the Bible says in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They were glad. That word implies everything about being happy and joyful. We sung the song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. I see so many people. I'm telling you, I believe I saw the saddest woman in the world the other day. We stopped in at McDonald's up there in center for some reason. Oh, yeah, I was getting some tires on the car. And I went up there. They got Fox News. And there was a group of them older guys sitting over there. They wanted me to join them. Thinking, well, I wasn't really fit in with y'all. But I'm realizing I fit in more and more. that crowd at McDonald's. But one man from New York had his wife. And he was cutting up, shooting the bull, trying to offend me every way we turned. And, I just enjoyed it. I mean, we was talking. He said, I want you to come back. You come back. Come back tomorrow. We'll be here. I said, I'd definitely be here. I got other things to do, sitting around with old timers. But his wife was sitting over there. He is so happy. He's a Roman Catholic. He was happy. Okay, well, I guess a Roman Catholic would be happy. Let me just move on. His wife is sad. His wife was not only that, I don't want to just offend and say how bad she looked. She looked like death in one door. And she was deaf for God's sake. And he kept on and on, and I wanted to say something because I've commented, and I'll be about this. Ma'am, you are a very strong man. Said a few words. He chuckled and I laughed. There's a joy that gets in your life when you get saved. And I see so many sad people. You walk out in public, you walk around in Walmart, wherever you want to go, you just walk in the general public. We went to those lights, and I'm glad Ava and Zach made it. We went and saw those lights. I don't know about y'all, but I saw the lights and I saw the animals. By the way, I figured out what are the trashes. We need to get on the move. We need to get on the move with the gospel. Are you saved? You going to heaven when you die? Are you sad? All right. Whoop. Up. They were glad and glorified the Lord. Something else they got. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You know what happens when somebody gets saved? It wasn't published with Paul and Barnabas. It was published by those new converts. Because Paul and Barnabas went on. They went on to other places. It was published by new converts. When I got saved, I'm not Mr. Holy Joe. Ask this woman in red. She'll let you know quickly how holy I am. Take it with a grain of salt. But I wanted everybody to be saved. I got my brother Roland, made him. I got to his house, talking to him in the driveway, and I was so full of zeal that I just got him, pushed him down on his knees. You're going to get saved, Roland. I might have saved him, but God didn't. He claims to be saved now. I hope he is. He really does. On the school bus, we would go to vocational school. Robert offered. He's my age. I've been trying to get Robert saved for, that's going to be a long year. So that's going to be a lot of years. I'll tell you how long it's been 50 years. We rode school bus together. He got on late on the bus one day. And there was one seat. Yes, he was by. Holy in the Bible, and making them hell, right? I mean, not. I don't know if I said anything or not, but when I got saved, I wanted everybody to be saved. Were you that way? Are we that way now? Now, one quick thing, and I'm closed. Look at this. Here's some strong scripture. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard to us, they were glad. We'll find the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What does that mean? Does that mean God knows something we don't know? Well, we already know that, don't we? Don't God know things that we don't know nothing about? Huh? You say, how do I know I'm one of them? There's one way you can know. Only one way. And that word's mentioned right here. It's the last word. Believe. If you believe, God wasn't surprised when you got saved. And if you go to hell, God's not going to be surprised when you go there. God help us. This is very, very serious. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to these words. For God sent not his the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We're born condemned. We're born going to hell if we don't get saved. That is, after you reach an age of accountability and understand, mental understanding of the gospel. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I ask you today, do you believe on him? And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know why some people will never be saved? Because they're never going to realize that they're a sinner and the things they're doing are wrong. And they agree with God about who they are. And they believe Jesus as who he is. Let's stand. There may be somebody in this building that wishes to believe on Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. And I pray that you'll do that. Make it public. You can come down here. Let us know. Today, I realize that I need Jesus. Father, have your way, Holy God, in every heart, in every life. I'm concerned about people not being happy. I'm concerned about them being overwhelmed with the things of this world. And Lord, let it be that believers will turn loose from this world, turn loose from possessions, pride, arrogancy, will turn to you in the humility of their hearts, Lord, and live their lives and find the true meaning of happiness as they let go of the world. And I pray for those that may be unsaved in our congregation today. I pray that with all their heart, they'll believe that you sent Jesus into the world, your Son, your only begotten Son, to bleed and die for us. Lord, that if we would only believe in him, we'd have eternal life, be ordained unto eternal life. Let it be, I pray in Jesus' name. Use this altar if you need it. Come publicly, pray where you are, or use the altar. Trust Christ. Believe in him.